Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Deal without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profits, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. 3-15 of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence to acknowledge our sins and ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you touch each heart that's here to worship today. Help them to worship in spirit and in truth. Pray, Father, for our people, that you renew their strength, renew their faith in thee, make it strong that they may be able to pray like they've never prayed before. Oh God, how we pray now that thy Spirit might search our hearts, and if there's any wicked way in us anywhere, forgive us and cleanse us, that we'll be in shape to pray. We pray for those who are in sorrow today because of the going of loved ones. We pray that you comfort them and strengthen them. We pray for Martha Crutchfield in the hospital, that you'll be with her and let her be conscious of your presence and your power there with her. And any others might be sick, we pray for them. You'll be with them. And oh God, how we pray now. You'll be with those especially who are sick in sin, that they might yield their lives to Jesus Christ while there's yet time and opportunity. We pray that you'll take this service now and get out of it what you want out of it, and send us out of here glad that we're in the meeting house of God today. We pray in Jesus' name for the power of God to saturate this camp this week. Be on every preacher that preaches. Be on everything that's done. Stay the hand of the devil. And let the Holy Spirit have free right away in everything. then, dear God, we come pleading in Jesus' name that you send us a weather that will be cool this week. You understand how hot it is in these dormitories. And you can cool the weather to where it will be comfortable for the people that have to stay in. If we could get it fixed, we'd do it, but we couldn't get it fixed for various reasons. And oh, God, how we pray that you'll be gracious enough one more time to just send us some cool weather. Make it so cool, God, they'll have to have cover at night. Just so cool and be comfortable for thy glory. We'll praise you for it in the public, in the assembly when you do it. And oh, God, we bring this as an object of prayer that you'll move this mountain of hot air out in the sea or somewhere and back in the mountain or somewhere, valley or somewhere, and just let a cool breeze come in here and be with us this week. We need it. God, do you understand what I'm talking about? We need it desperately back. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll give it to us. And oh, God, we pray for it for Jesus' sake. And we thank you for protecting everything yesterday as well as you did. And oh, God, now, this service today, and we'll praise you. Amen. The 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as for sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And then I want to put with it another verse out of the 10th chapter, 30th verse. For and we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We're in the midst of a changing, compromising, faltering world. It's amazing how folks are breaking down in their convictions. It's shocking to think that folks who pretend to be religious leaders can get by with things they're getting by with. I noticed some of the leaders of our Baptists in Union County are suggesting now that the boys and girls come and go mix swimming and encourage them to do it in the name of Baptists. And when you think about all of that, and then we're keenly conscious that a man stands for what's right, then he's immediately, take for example, just a concrete example, I can show you what I mean right quick. Brother Horton, one of the finest preachers that we got in this section over at his church, ought to have been there 3 months because he took a stand against worldliness in the church. Some things going on to him moral. The deacons met Wednesday night and asked him to resign. Hadn't been there 3 months. Yet that same deacon was the ones that recommended him and insisted they come as pastor. And now then they've asked him to resign. You see what I'm saying? The breakdown of principles, the breakdown of decency, as if they thought they'd going to get by with it. And they're getting by with it, seemingly. But if they're children of God, then there's a whip in the waiting. Vengeance is mine. We can't afford to strike out, but to try to get vengeance. And we have to recognize, my friends, that it's going to come. God said, I'm going to chastise those whom I love. If you're a child of God, there's chastening coming. We can go on and weaken and compromise and go with the world and become carnal and become sinful and worry. But you've got one thing to look forward to. As sure as God stays on the throne, you're going to get a whipping. Why? First of all, because God loves us, He's going to make us behave ourselves. He tells in the 6th chapter of Romans, we're no longer the children of sin. We've been made free from sin, and we don't have to yield to sin. He said, you're not tempted of any temptation but which is common to man, and with every temptation there's a way of escape. And God is prepared that we don't have to yield to temptation. We are no longer the children of sin. We're no longer dominated and voted and controlled by sin. We're controlled now by righteousness and by the power of God. And then if we just voluntarily go out and participate in the things of the world and of sin, disobey this book, live contrary to the laws that's laid down this book, live contrary to the things this book teaches against, then God said, vengeance is mine. God said, I'm going to whip. And so I'm saying this, my friends, is a terrible whipping in store across this country for a bunch of Baptist churches that are compromising and going along with things that are not right and they know they're not right, but to be popular and to hold our positions with the people. And so the people won't run them off. And so when some preacher stands and preaches the truth, he doesn't stay there but a little while. And it's not only just in this county, it's all over the nation. It's like that. A preacher takes a stand, he's got to go. They won't have him. He's too plain. He's too radical. He's too backwoodsy. He's too much of a back number. God hasn't changed. What's sin with God now, 20 years ago, is sin now. What's wrong 20 years ago is wrong now. And God said, as a result of it, I'll chastise those whom I love. And if God don't sit out with a bunch of chastening on a bunch of Baptists, then they're not saved. They're a bunch of bastards. That's what they are. That's what God said to us. And as a result of it, God chastises for two reasons. He chastises them because He loves them. He chastises them because they're sons. And He wants the sons to live right. If we're God's children, He has a right to correct us. He said a father corrects his children and they respect him. Then when God corrects us, we got to respect God for correcting us. And as a result of it, God all the way through the Bible, my friends, has brought correction. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith God. And folks have suffered as a result of it. You just take a run and go at something. There's the old lot. Wouldn't fix the sin. Let the arms of Abraham left worship. And take his sandal down there and fix his tent with the sodomites. And the men in Sodom were exceedingly sinful and wicked. Pulled the altars of Abraham out, turned his back on the altars, and picked up the habits of the Sodomites, and it vexed his soul to do it, but it didn't vex it enough for him to quit doing it. And as a result of it, there he goes and touches his family and takes his herdmen, and they all indulge in the sins of the Sodomites. And my friends, God vexed him and taught him and dealt with it, but he wouldn't break over. He hung on. And God chastised. You know the way that he chastised? You know the story. The whole thing burned up. And he got so far with it, his uncle Abraham that had faith in God couldn't pray it off of it. Listen, church members, you can get so far in sin and away from God, the church, and
and the preachers can't pray it off of them. And if you're going to keep on dancing and running naked and cussing and running around the devil's crowd, and you can get so far in this church and your preacher can't pray it off of you, don't be crying about it. They don't pray for me. And you need to face it. Now, I want you to realize something. You can go on and go over the crowd of the words, run your ragged shorts and your britches and mixed bathing, and run around to the mixed bathing ponds and run with that crowd and laugh at the preacher. But wait till the wrath of God comes. Wait till the chastisement of God comes. And I'll tell you one thing. The preacher will not pray it off. The church will not pray it off. But God will spank you till you're convinced. And if you don't do it, you're a bunch of bastards. That's what you are. That's exactly what it is. This is well to face it. And then old Naomi, Harry's sons married a couple of heathen girls, and they moved over, and Naomi moved over one. Took up with the heathen wife with a daughter-in-law. Got by pretty well a while, but didn't last long until the hearse began to bump her front door. Her husband died, those two sons that she moved over with died, and she got enough of it. When God got through, she said, I'm going back home. God, I come over here full, and God's brought me back empty. And you just realize one thing, when God chastises and starts it, it's too late to try to correct it. It's too late to try to stop God when He stops. He said, I'll chastise those whom I love. And if you're without chastisement, you're bastards, not sons. And then, old Saul, he listened to a bunch of naysayers instead of listening to what God said. And God took His anointing off of Saul, and the devil tore him up and tore his family up. Why? When the prophet of God went to talk to Saul about what he'd done, he said, the people, they said. Didn't consider what God said. God said, go down and kill the Amalekites and destroy everything you got. And the people said, now Saul, just look in here. All this silly mutton and beef. Folks back at home starving to death. Come on, people. It's a shame to waste all of this food when everybody's starving. Just because you think it ought to be. God said, Saul, be the clean sweep. He listened to they say. Said, all right, I tell you what, do. Take the choice now and take it back and we'll kill the rest. And that's what they did. God sends from that man and said, Saul, what about it? He said, oh, praise the Lord. We got it all done. We did it. The loan of all these oxen, waiting on the sheep, where'd that come from? All the people, they said, bring them. Father God said, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is worse than just casting that up because you've done the same God's gift and the anointing of you and going to put the devil on. The scripture said he's going to put the devil on me. And God let the devil get on Saul. And the devil wrecked Saul's family, wrecked him, and he attempted suicide and couldn't quite finish it. Then the devil could finish it up on him. Nobody could get it over. Vengeance is mine. And some of these crowds just getting in our churches and trying to wreck our churches and shut up our preachers across this nation and say you can't preach so and so and stand against so and so. We'll run you off. I'll tell you, there's a bunch of them that's going to have a sad day one of these days. It's done. God said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. And God don't want to save their lives. And then, God don't worry about what it costs. He said to Jonah, said, go down and live. And Jonah decided he'd take out on God and not go to him. And he ended up, he was a fish. He had a boat ride. And God prepared a fish. Now he took a bunch of these evolutions, a bunch of these smart scientists, said a man couldn't live in a fish 3 days and nights. Well, God prepared this fish especially to swallow Jonah. And if he wanted to put a ventilator in that fish, he did. Well, you stop me, you smart me not long ago. I said, well, I don't you to understand one thing. You's and your mother are a lot longer than that before you come out and walk around. How'd you live in that? You ain't answered me yet. Oh, the amount of stupidity among intelligence we have for that. But anyway, God gives an expense of preparing this fresh fish and then sending a storm to get him to go in and feed the fat man fish. And a bunch of commercial fishermen or commercial men had to load it, unload the bag. It cost those commercial men a bunch of stuff and cost a lot to get that fella to where God wanted him. God didn't consider the cost. He's after Jonah. Now, I want you to know one thing. When you start running from God and grudging God and trying to get out of what God, he's not going to consider what it costs in the hospital, what it's going to cost in the funeral home, or anywhere else. God's going to get you going one way or the other. He don't have to consider the cost. It's all his anyhow. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. I'll chastise those whom I love. And these folks, you say, well, a lot of folks live like that and do like that. God don't bother. No, they're a bunch of bastards. That's the reason God don't bother them. If they're God's son, he's going to deal with them. And if they don't deal with them, that's a public declaration that they're bastards. That's what it is. That's what the book said. We just as well to face it. You say, preach, I don't think you ought to preach like that. I don't make any difference. God didn't call you because he knew you to preach like that. Want somebody to do it. Truth's the truth. Because he loves you, he wants you to reflect his likeness. God does not stop to consider the cost of the trouble it's going to cause you or anybody else. Then, my friends, when David committed his sin, he tried to cover up from everybody and listen to the preacher. He tried to cover up. Nobody in him and the old girl he likes to bathe. And that's the trouble of these bathing ponds, these little old swimming ponds. Said there's no harm in you get out there looking around on them. A bunch of naked girls, and while I'm out there except naked, you're going to lust. Don't say you ain't. If you don't lust, you go to see a doctor. There's something wrong with you. You're not normal. You're sick. Amen. I don't care who's swimming pond it is. When they mix them up that bad, they get their water around out there naked, they're going to lust after each other. And that's sin. As I am sin. Lust, when it's finished, turn the fourth death. I don't care whether the preacher carries the crowd to the swimming pool or who does it. It's still sin. They carry in the name of a church or a Baptist association. It's still sin. They carry in the youth movement. It's still sin. God will still chastise if the children, and if they don't get chastised, they're a bunch of bastards.
Are God's words alive?
let it be whichever one it may. But David, and that all he thought about him seemed covered up. But when he thought he had it all covered up, got the man killed that if you ever find it out, maybe he didn't. Got her moved in with him. Nobody, she hadn't told anybody. He hadn't told anybody. Got her husband killed. Who are you? I'm God's prophet. What do you want? I want to see King David. You got a fast pass. Nothing. God sent me in here. Yahweh let me. David? King? There's a man. Had a little old lamb. Took it around in his arms. Don't want it. Loved it. Did a lot to him. Just had one. Had a lot of sheep. Had a lot of cattle. Fellow come to visit. Sent him to kill one of the many. He took the one that had and killed him. Yes, Jesus. David jumped up and said, who is it? Who is it? Oh, I'll tend to him. Father God said, thou art the man. That's settled. And King David, thus and thus and thus, three funerals, and the sword hung over your house from here on. Goodbye. And the son, three funerals. He died, he got the syphilis, he got his eyes out, he didn't get his eyes out, he just all cords out and died in isolation. Nobody couldn't cure it. He's beyond the doctor. Face it. Old Saul. Went down and laid his head in the lap of Delilah. Went back again. Couldn't see Samson from Delilah. God took his power and Samson. Samson was special anointed of God. He's a special deliverer of God. That is all the children of Israel depended on Samson, delivered them from the Philistines. But he lay around there until God took his power off of him. He took Philistines, went in and took Israel, and they couldn't get deliverance because Samson's bound that blind to me while they destroyed him. And I'm afraid that a lot of people are going to hell this morning because there's a lot of preachers bound by public opinion and public thinking and bound by faith. They can't preach the truth because they're afraid they know how. And they're going around compromising and air kicking and patting folks on the back and praying open their mouths and get sick. And we're losing America to sinful living. Stay.